Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. A new week begins on the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. You got the mastermind of the pigskin in Lisi, here to break down everything we need to know around the National Football League from the weekend that was in training camp as we enter, Joe, the first full week of preseason action for all 32 NFL teams around the league. And, of course, some college football news to break down in the second half hour of our show. We are less than 3 weeks away from the start of the college football campaign in 2024. That's week zero, Saturday, August 24th. So a lot to get into here, Lisi, over this next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, it's the second week of preseason action as well. We saw the Hall of Fame game last week. Bears win 21-17. We have two games that start this coming Thursday. The Giants take off this weekend as well, and we'll get a better gauge about how some of these teams look. And for college football, I mean, this is it. 19 days away before we're full throttle ahead. We have a great ACC battle in Ireland. We do have Florida State and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech looking to get back to a bowl game with Haynes King, and Florida State and DJU, Ben, looking to make some noise, not just in terms of the regular season, but knocking down that college football playoff berth and door, something they couldn't do last season.
Yeah, it will be certainly that, Joe, as we get ready for a new college football campaign with the end of last year's season a little bit up for question, or at least news around the reigning national champ. At least you got to start in the NFL. You mentioned how the Lions and the Giants will face off against one another on Thursday night, a part of the two games that we have to really kick off preseason week number one, the Hall of Fame game on Thursday between the Bears and the Texans. Great. It's an exhibition match in Canton, Ohio, at the site of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but even the Houston Texans and the Chicago Bears will both have a full preseason slate of three more games to come. So that's why on Thursday night with our doubleheader that starts off with the Giants and the Lions, that's really week number one of the preseason underway. We also have the Patriots and the Panthers facing off in Foxborough on Thursday night. And Lisi, one of the beautiful things about training camp is that you've been playing against each other for such a long time that when you get into that first week of preseason, it's nice to see an opposition on the other side, but it does at times lead to some tempers flailing. You have those joint practices in the days leading up to a preseason game that often can be a little bit more competitive than even the preseason game itself when you have your ones versus ones. We are seeing that today at Giants training camp. The Lions and the Giants in a joint practice multiple times, Joe, have the sidelines cleared in what these dust-ups and scuffles have been during this practice. Seems to be some animosity and some heat between Detroit and New York in this joint practice.
Yeah, again, and you have two teams, obviously, you know, that have expectations. Two blue-collar head coaches in Dan Campbell and Brian Daboll that obviously predicate physicality. And if you're a team like the Detroit Lions, you still want to have that killer mentality after you made it to the NFC Championship game last year, right? Dan Campbell said it might be their only shot in regards to getting to potentially a Super Bowl. He said that after the loss last year, that potentially they could be a one-and-done. So there is is, you know, the fear factor for Detroit and their quarterback, Jared Goff, and that team overall, because they had everything in there, in their sights. They just could not close the door against the San Francisco 49ers, and they lost. And for Brian Daboll and the New York Giants, it's not just the players. It's potentially the coaching staff as well. If the Giants limp to an under 500 record, maybe Brian Daboll is no longer there. Maybe that opens up the door for potentially a bigger name like Bill Belichick. Again, you know, he overexceeded expectations in year one, Ben, and now it's been a slight regression. They need to get back over the hump and, more importantly, maybe make a playoff berth this season.
Year three of the Brian Daboll era in New York under Joe Shane. The two guys worked together in Buffalo. Shane, the assistant GM for Brandon Bean, and now, of course, is the general manager of the G-Men, who we have been focusing on and following throughout HBO's Hard Knocks and the offseason with the New York Giants. It has been a peculiar offseason where one of the faces of the franchise, that being Saquon Barkley, now plays for divisional rival in Philadelphia. Joe, the expectation for the Giants is an underachieving season. 6.5 is the win total, minus 150 to the under. That's 6 wins is what the expectation is out of the odds makers. We are seeing Daniel Jones throw the ball around today in the joint practice against Detroit. Malik Nabers looks great to start this training camp, the 6th overall pick made by the Giants during the 2024 NFL draft. But Lisa Guy, it's not exactly an optimistic outlook for New York entering 2024, and I think what you say there is fascinating, because Daniel Jones is not their guy. They were not the organization at the time, the GM in Joe Shane or the head coach in Brian Daboll, that said, that's the guy out of Duke that we want to take with our quarterback pick in the top 10. And yet, it was the first year where Daboll really helped Daniel Jones have his best career season. The upset in Minnesota in that playoff victory, leading to Danny Dimes getting paid this past offseason. Now, 2 offseasons ago. But they structured the deal, did the Giants, to make it front-heavy. They front-loaded it so that if things went poor and Daniel Jones looked like the quarterback we had seen his first few years in the NFL, maybe there was an escape hatch, an out route to get out of this deal and this contract. But you have to wonder, Lisa Guy, with the pressure that is the greater New York, New Jersey area and the Mara family looking for a winner for the G-Men, if things are bad, even if Daniel Jones is the quarterback, and Daboll and Shane don't want that to be the case, and they go 5-12, 6-11. Do Daboll and Shane see year number 4 in New York? I think that question would have to be answered.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, I was asked this question with Donnie on Friday, Ben, in regards to the L.A. Chargers. Did I agree with Jim Harbaugh, you know, taking that team and ripping it down early on in terms of, you know, shipping out Austin Eckler and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and not retaining them in any capacity? I thought it was the right move, and I thought that the New York Giants should have did that with Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones that year. You know, the problem was is that he took that talent and he overexceeded expectations. They won a playoff game. They knocked out a team in Minnesota that had 13 wins in the regular season, and they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. And they set the bar so high in year number 2 that the fan base said, hey, we're a playoff contender. Last year, with that talent, in year number 2, all we could do potentially is maybe challenge the Eagles and Cowboys yet again and maybe make a run to the NFC Championship. And they regressed. And now the expectation is, where are we? We have no identity. Our quarterback is in flux. We have no real playmakers. We ship Saquon Barkley to our arch rival across town, and now where are they going? So I agree with you. The fan base will say if they go 5-12 or 6-11, hey, maybe we give a shot with Bill Belichick, who's, you know, we know is looked at as like a savior of that Giants organization. Why not give it 1 or 2 years with an aging Bill? Let's make a run and let's see what happens, as opposed to rebuilding in year number 3 with Shane and Daboll.
Yeah, I don't know exactly if Bill Belichick would be the answer, even if Daboll and Shane were booted at the end of this year, their 3rd in New York. But let's not forget, Brian Daboll was the NFL Coach of the Year in 2022. His first his rookie season as a head coach. It worked out so well in New York. On the opposite end of this conversation, Joe, the Detroit Lions, a lovable loser for a very long time, but now a team with a win total of 10.5, where the over has the juice, the divisional favorites in the NFC North, and tied for the second best number to win a conference title at plus 550 alongside Philadelphia, only behind San Francisco. It's why these joint practices are fascinating, and it's why when you get the ones versus the ones, you see that level of competition ramp up in the National Football League. By the way, for the preseason opener in MetLife on Thursday night, the Giants a 3.5-point favorite. If it was a regular season game, even with the Lions on the road, they might be laying close to 5.5, 6. But preseason football is different. Detroit a 3.5-point road underdog. Some wide receiver news from the weekend in training camp around the National Football League comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Some wide receiver news around the National Football League. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, let's start with the bad news. Perhaps first, the injury news around Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua. He sustained a knee injury on Sunday during training camp and is now considered by the organization week to week. One source telling ESPN that Nacua's injury is not seen as serious, quote, not serious, but still, you never want to have any injury concerns during preseason. The Rams were undergoing a joint practice with the LA Chargers this over the weekend. Of course, Puka Nacua, a sensational rookie season. He set the rookie records for receptions, 105, and receiving yards in the NFL, 1,486. He is a big part, Joe, of this Rams offense and what the expectation is for LA moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. And I still believe in the LA Rams. They're one of my picks to potentially challenge as a dark horse for the NFC Championship at 14-1. Matt Stafford, we know, is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. The additions to that defense, but that offense revolves around the passing attack. And Puka Nacua needs to be in that lineup week number one. So there's no rush, in my opinion, getting him back for any type of preseason action. You want to make sure that he's 100% healthy. You don't want to push him in any capacity. And as long as he's there week one with Cooper Kupp and those playmakers, Ben, Kyren Williams now, and obviously Blake Corum in the backfield, there's no reason. They're definitely, at least right now, solidified as, and I want to say higher, much higher than Seattle and Arizona is the second best team in the NFC West. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, you know, you want to say they're a potential dark horse, not just for the NFC Championship, but maybe to push San Francisco. I wouldn't argue that point. I think there's value there. So a loss right now, you got to monitor it. But as long as he's back week number one, that's all that matters if you're a Rams backer.
Yeah, Joe, does not seem overly serious, as though any regular season time is in question for Puka Nacua. And let's face it, it's not like Sean McVay is all that invested in seeing his starters or his key performers out there for a ton of action in preseason football. Anyway, the Rams will play the Cowboys on Sunday night in this opening week of preseason. They're already booked. Excuse me, as a 4.5-point favorite. The Rams, the second best price to win the NFC West at plus 330. The 49ers, a hefty favorite at minus 190. But of course, the Rams were a playoff team a season ago, and they are expected to flirt with a playoff position as of this moment. Plus 104 for LA. That's technically eighth best out of the NFC. The Bears just in front of them at minus 108. That week one game for LA in regular season in action will be on the road in the Motor City, a rematch of the Super Wild Card round game that was Sunday Night Football this past season when the Detroit Lions won their first playoff game in 32 years over former quarterback, in his return to the Motor City, that being Matthew Stafford for the Rams. Now more optimistic, at least from a financial perspective, news for Tyreek Hill. They restructured his deal in Miami to pay him now $90 million $1 million over the next 3 years. Tyreek was already one of four wide receivers, Joe, in the NFL to make $30 million or more on an annual average basis. But they upfronted some guaranteed money for Tyreek Hill to pay him even more. It's $106.5 million guaranteed over the next 4 years in Miami. So they compensate and take care of who is considered one of the best football players in the National Football League, Joe. This followed a weekend in which Tyreek Hill was named the number one player in the NFL's top 100, voted on by his peers around the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for Miami. You get your playmaker and you sign him and everything's hunky-dory. But again, you know, that list that came out, there's no way Tyreek Hill is the number one player. I'm sorry, just can't do it. Pat Mahomes should be clearly the number one player on that list. I understand the dynamic playmaking ability of Tyreek Hill and his ability to potentially get to 2,000 yards. But again, you know, Pat Mahomes clearly is the number one player in the NFL. I don't know what they were talking about. But Tyreek needs to pay off a couple of people with some bags of cash for putting him number one overall.
Yeah, I think it's, Joe, something voted on by your peers, how they deem valuable or best, maybe a little bit different. There's no doubt, though, that Tyreek Hill is one of, if not the best wide receivers in the National Football League. Certainly up there with Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and Tyreek Hill might have them all beat. At least last year, he did. Nearly 1,800 receiving yards, 1,799 for Tyreek Hill in terms of what he was able to do a year ago. That led all of the National Football League in receiving. He had 13 receiving touchdowns, also leading the NFL. He led in two of the three categories in what qualifies as the Triple Crown leader, most receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns in the National Football League on any individual basis. He finished second in Offensive Player of the Year voting, only behind Christian McCaffrey of San Francisco. Tyreek Hill will enter 2024 as the preseason favorite at an 8-1 number to win the Offensive Player of the Year award this year. Joe, there is no doubt about Tyreek Hill's production in Miami. He is a key cog into what makes this offense under Mike McDaniel, under the tutelage and guidance of Tua Tagovailoa, one of the most dynamic and dangerous in all of the NFL. But we know that is the case with the offense. For the Dolphins to snap nearly a 25-year drought of not winning a single playoff game, it will take more than Tua and Tyreek for sure.
And it comes down to the rushing attack. That's more important in my estimation for the offense than the passing game with Tua and Tyreek. And granted, they're going to put up numbers with Jalen Waddle in regards to the regular season. But again, the inability to rush the football, especially in critical games. I go back to that game at the end of the regular season against Buffalo. And more importantly, on the road against Kansas City, you need to run the football with authority. And that's something that obviously Devon Achane and that offense, in terms of the offensive line, need to find continuity throughout the regular season. You can run it against mediocre competition. You need to run it against the likes of Kansas City and Baltimore, teams that you potentially could play in a playoff situation, and even the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that will be the case for Miami, to go somewhere they have not in nearly 2.5 decades. It is something that Mike McDaniel has stressed for his Miami team. College football news, and it's big, coming up next here on Football Full Circle. Are we going to see a notice of allegation against Michigan this week? And the coaches' poll was just released. Our reactions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. A lot of college football coming your way the rest of this hour here on Football Full Circle. Lisi guy, big news over the weekend. We'll get to the news on Sunday that features the reigning national champs in Ann Arbor and a draft of notice of allegation from the NCAA against the Michigan football program, of course, revolving around the sign-stealing scandal last season under Connor Stallions. We'll get to that in just a moment. But big news in terms of the preseason coaches poll. That was released today. Next Monday around this time, it will be the preseason AP Top 25. Of course, we use the AP Top 25 more as our, you know, typical guidance until we get to the CFP rankings come November. And Lisa, guy, here is the top 10 of the 2024 preseason coaches poll. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Oregon 3, Texas 4, Alabama 5, Ole Miss 6, Notre Dame 7, Michigan 8, Penn State 9, and Florida State rounds out the top 10 at 10th overall. If you break down the top 10, Joe, that's four Big Ten teams, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State. Four SEC teams, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, an independent school in Notre Dame, and only one ACC school in Florida State. Welcome to the new age of college football.
Oh, yeah, this is it. You know, and it's good to see Florida State in the top 10. I'm still a buyer of the ACC. Not overall in terms of top to bottom, but in terms of the two big heavies, I would take a shot and buy Florida State and Clemson respectively. Plus 154 in regards to Florida State to make the playoff, plus 205 for Clemson to make the playoff. And again, Clemson with that marquee game August 31st against the Georgia Bulldogs. So, again, yes, the ACC is, you know, on the outside looking in along with the Big 12 for that matter, but ultimately they still have the opportunity to knock down that door and provide great value for the SEC and Big 10. We know it. You know, there's only one when you start the year, Ben, in terms of the top 10, right? There's only one way, you know, that you could go, and that's down to the cellar. So for some of these teams, that will happen, right? We see Oregon and Ohio State battle it out in October. We see Texas and potentially Michigan battle it out September 7th. Georgia has crazy games in terms of the first week, first month of the regular season. So there is opportunity. I guarantee you that the way we look at it right here, right now, is not how it's going to look come December.
Absolutely so, Joe. A lot of football to be determined. We'll see what the AP Top 25 in the preseason rankings looks like as well. This gives us a sample size, of course, voted on by the coaches around college football. It is intriguing, though, when you look at the top 10 and who we expect to factor into the college football playoff. Is it all that surprising? No. Joe, we talked about this very idea last week, the 10 best prices to reach the college football playoff. When you go conference by conference, we've got five schools out of the SEC, four out of the Big Ten, and the one independent school that is Notre Dame. Florida State has the 11th best price to reach the CFP. It is the first time it's a non-Big Ten, non-SEC, and non-Notre Dame school. That's just the reality of the situation. Those two leagues, the SEC and the Big Ten, very top heavy. However, I will say, Lisa, guys, so you've got those four SEC schools in the top 10. Then Missouri at 11, LSU at 12, Tennessee at 15, and Texas A&M at 20. That gives us nine, or maybe eight schools, rather, excuse me, in Oklahoma at 16. I knew I skipped one. That gives us nine SEC schools in the top 25. The Big Ten only has the additions of USC at 23 and Iowa at 25. Then you start to go to the two other teams in the ACC, Clemson and Miami. And then we move to the Big 12. Although the Big 12 does not have a team ranked inside the top 10, Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Kansas all check in the top 25, as well as Arizona. You can see I'm doing these things on the fly in terms of conference realignment. So you do have five Big 12 teams, which is only one behind the Big 10 in terms of the total number ranked inside the top 25.
Yeah, again, you know, when you talk about the Big 12, Ben, I believe that's the conference that can make the most noise in regards to parity, in regards to just being, you know, flip a quarter and having any handful of a number of teams in regards to challenging for a title. So can they knock down, you know, two spots in terms of a college football playoff berth? We can only see. You know, again, you know, I think that's the one conference that you could say flip a quarter, and you know what? Whoever's standing at the end, I'll take a shot because it's wide open.
Yeah, listen, Brett Yormark talked about that very idea to start Big 12 Media Day, saying we are the deepest conference in the country. And many laughed at him. And I would say that is the case. But you have so many competitive schools, as Joe and I have tried to highlight over this offseason, that we'll continue to talk about next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So it's the new age of college football, represented in the first preseason poll that we have, the USA Today Coaches Poll, just released within the last half an hour for the 2024 college football season. Lisi guy, again, in the top 10, we've got four schools out of the SEC, four schools out of the Big Ten, one apiece for FBS independents, that's Notre Dame, and the ACC, that is Florida State. But when you look at the top 25 as a whole, nine SEC schools, six Big Ten programs, five from the Big 12, the earliest in the rankings. The Big 12 sees its name is Utah, checking in at 13th overall, four out of the ACC, and again, that independent program that is Notre Dame. It is the new look of the country and how we categorize and group these things in our top 25 polls.
Yeah, again, you know, top 25 is a conference, is a conversation starter, and we're going to break it down. Again, you know, I'm a believer that we'll get at least three from the SEC and at least three from the Big Ten. I think we'll get maybe four, I think that's the cusp. I don't think we're going to see six SEC schools or five SEC and five Big Ten. I don't think they'll do that in year one. I really don't think they'll do that. So the margin is slim for some of these, you know, teams. Teams like Ole Miss and LSU, Alabama as well, right? Because we know that these conferences in the SEC knock each other out. So same thing with the Big Ten. You know, Penn State, we've talked about it. This is the year James Franklin's going to knock down that door. It better be, because you haven't had a better opportunity than this season, James. Because, you know, if it's Ohio State and it's Oregon and Michigan is down because Harbaugh and all the transfers left, and let's just say they're 9-3. That leaves the door wide open for Penn State. Some of these teams really need to take advantage. And again, we'll see how this plays out. Even Notre Dame as well. You know, 10-2 at worst for Marcus Freeman, especially when you play Army and Navy in Northern Illinois. And I believe Miami of Ohio. There's four wins right there. I mean, come on. You have to be at least 10-2. So the pressure's on. The door's open, but the pressure's on a lot of these coaches, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so, right? With opportunity comes expectation. It was difficult for Penn State, at least it seemed difficult for Penn State, to get past Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten East. Look at the past 2 years in state college. 10-2 regular seasons for the Nittany Lions each and every year, both of those 2 years, which is something that would be celebrated in most programs around the country, and to a certain extent, of course, it was in Penn State. But their two losses each of the past 2 years, Joe, in the regular season against the same two programs, Michigan and Ohio State. Because of that, Penn State never able to reach the Big Ten championship game, never able to reach the college football playoff. Those two teams do not strictly stand in their way in the division, in the conference, or their national outlook any longer with the scraping of divisions. Penn State doesn't have to play Michigan this year. And with the seven at-large berths to the college football playoff available, the Nittany Lions definitely need one. There are no questions about James Franklin and the successful program that he is built in state college. There are questions, perhaps, Joe, about the certain ceiling of success he can bring this proud football program in state college, Pennsylvania, to. And those are questions for Notre Dame as well, a team in the four-team era of the college football playoff that made it multiple times but never performed all that well on the stage. This year, Joe, Notre Dame has the fifth-best price to see the CFP on the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 170 number. The anticipation in South Bend, Indiana, is a college football playoff spot, and Notre Dame has to grab it.
Yeah, exactly. They have to grab it. And again, you know, it starts week one against Texas A&M. And what's intriguing about that is, yes, Texas A&M potentially is in a rebuild, but they do have Connor Wegman, an experienced quarterback. They have Mike Elko, a defensive mastermind, and a guy that understands Notre Dame's starting quarterback very well. If Notre Dame loses that game week one, what happens to Marcus Freeman and the Fighting Irish, right? All of a sudden, right. Now you have to run the table, and USC is on there, and a potential Florida State game in South Bend is on there. So, again, we talk about these week one matchups and how they could dictate not just in terms of wins and losses, but in terms of the playoff market and in terms of how some of these futures odds will change dramatically after week number one or potentially week number two.
And, Joe, that's the conversation, right, where in years past, if Notre Dame were to play a marquee non-conference game and they come up short, the margin of error is not there. It's slim to none, and slim just walked out the door, because in the 10-year history of the four-team format in the CFP, we never saw a team with two losses or more reach the college football playoff. This year, we are going to see multiple teams with multiple losses, so the door, in fact, might be a little bit even more open for Notre Dame, who I believe the Irish should be a big fan of the expanded college football playoff, despite the fact that, as they are an independent, can never earn that automatic bid, courtesy of being one of the five highest ranked conference champions. I like, Joe, that the Big 12 has those five teams, as we discussed. A conference that you and I both consider highly competitive. Are they going to win a national championship this year? Probably not, as a conference. Is the league going to even reach the CFP semifinals? That remains to be seen. Are they going to earn one of the automatic bids, courtesy of one of the five highest ranked conference champs? Absolutely so. So who is going to get that automatic spot if we might even see multiple teams out of the Big 12? That remains the question, but Utah checks in the coaches poll as the highest ranked Big 12 team. And they check in as the favorites in the preseason poll in the Big 12 top team as well. Can't wait to see what Utah does this season.
Oh, yeah, again, you know, now the other teams in the conference struggled, right? The only team to make it to a bowl was UCF, right? The others really struggled in terms of the conference realignment. We talk about Kyle Whittingham potentially 1 foot out the door. Cam Rising hasn't played in basically a year and a half since his days at the Rose Bowl, right? So that's a long time ago. There's a lot of questions. Again, we know they're physical. But again, if you look at Utah over the years, they typically struggle with speed teams. And that is the problem. We saw them struggle a couple years ago with a mobile quarterback in DTR and UCLA. That is the MO to exposing potentially Utah. What does the Big 12 have? All mobile quarterbacks for the most part, but more importantly, speed offenses, spread offenses that could spread you out and challenge you deep, just the way Oregon did in terms of Rice Eccles. That's going to be a major concern, in my opinion, for the Utah defense moving over to the conference. And I'm not just going to blindly buy Utah the way I used to in the Pac-12, Ben.
It's a good point, right? Utah, who was a conference champ in both 2021 and 2022, with the idea that Cam Rising could potentially play at some point last season. Of course, that was not the case. Utah was in the running for it and came up just a little bit short. All right, Lisa Guy, we're going to transition our focus. Actually, you know what? Let's hold on here to the Big 12, because it should be stated, Kansas checks in at 24th in the country. The Kansas Jayhawks are ranked in a preseason poll. Now, that's pretty good stuff for KU, and only speaks to the returner at quarterback, Jalen Daniels, who they have alongside him in the backfield in Devin Neal, in the program that Lance Leipold has built in Lawrence. We'll see if KU checks into the top 25 of the AP poll to really see how historic this could be for Kansas as a football program. But pretty good news there for KU, at least coming into the coaches' poll.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, and we know what Lance Leipold brings. As long as Jalen Daniels is healthy, Ben, they're going to have one of the most explosive offenses, right, with Devin Neal in regards to the rushing attack. They have the opportunity to score potentially 30 points per game. The weakness has been the defense in regards to the secondary. They've been burned in terms of years past, struggle with bigger, more physical offensive lines. But as long as Jalen Daniels in that lineup, he's a significant upgrade from where Bean was at the end of the regular season. Bean's a comparable backup, but he was nowhere near where Jalen Daniels was in terms of explosiveness. So that's great. Yeah. I mean, I think he's definitely a great head coach. Can he stay in Lawrence for 4 or 5 years? That's the biggest question.
Yeah, that's what we shall see. All right, Lisa Guy, we turn our attention to the big news yesterday, that being in Ann Arbor, the sign-stealing scandal, and when might we see some discipline handed down to the reigning national champs in Michigan? Up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Lisi Guy, yesterday afternoon, a big report from ESPN about a draft of the notice of allegation that the NCAA might soon be sending out to the Michigan football program as it pertains to the sign-stealing scandal this past season in Ann Arbor, spearheaded, of course, by a villain of sorts in college football, the infamous Connor Stallions. Now, Lisi Guy, this is just a draft of the notice of allegation. We don't know exactly what the final result will be and what exactly the discipline will be and when exactly it will be made public. But in the report from ESPN that saw the notice of allegation, here are a couple of things that stand out. 7 Michigan football staffers, either current or previous, are named in the draft in the notice of allegation. That includes Jim Harbaugh, now the head coach of the Chargers. That includes Connor Stallions. That includes various others. It also includes current head coach of the Maize and Blue, Sherrone Moore, who could be given a discipline or punishment based on the level 2 violations and the fact that he individually and the program as a whole is considered a repeat offender. So the question might be, what's a level 2 violation? It is the second most serious as deemed by the NCAA. Level 1 violations, the most serious that you can undertake. So, Lisi Guy, as it pertains to Sherrone Moore, we're not entirely sure what discipline or punishment might be handed down, but he was named in the draft of the notice of allegation as a level 2 violator.
Yeah, again, I mean, this is not just Sherrone Moore. It's more Jim Harbaugh, right? I mean, this is like, a staff problem. I mean, if Sherrone Moore knew and deleted texts, Jim Harbaugh knew. We know that. And again, it doesn't take away from what they did on the football field. I don't want Michigan fans to get in, here you go. No, but it is what it is. I mean, we're talking about, we're not talking about, having a guy trying to, stare down with binoculars across the other side, on your sideline, steal signs. We're talking about like something from a CIA mission here, having Connor Stallions on other sidelines from opposing teams and opposing oppositions. I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it. I hope that Sherrone Moore is basically given a slap on the wrist, because if you're going to knock out Sherrone Moore, you got to do something then to Jim Harbaugh somehow, some way, even though he's moved on to the NFL. I don't care what it is, but he's got to find repercussions. You can't just do it, walk away, and then just say, that's it, I'm no longer affiliated with the school. Hopefully they just give him a slap on the wrist, and hopefully everybody learns from this. We know that sign stealing has always been there from probably the last 30 years. You know why? Because that's why the signs were up, right? The Lee Corso, the Duck, and all the other things. Teams knew they were stealing signs, but to this extent, I don't think anybody knew, including the fans.
Yeah, so Lisi Guy, it is very important to note that of the 7 staffers that were named in the notice of allegation draft, only Sherrone Moore is the guy that is currently still on staff. Connor Stallions resigned last November. Jim Harbaugh is the new head coach of the LA Chargers. His former defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter, was also named. He's now working for Jim in Los Angeles. We have another member of Jim's current club in the Chargers as well, Chris Partridge, who was his linebackers coach, a defensive assistant who now works in Seattle, was also named in the report. Denard Robertson, who, of course, was a famed Michigan quarterback, was released from the program after a DUI violation back in May. So Sherrone Moore is really the only guy still a part of this coaching staff that is here with the Michigan football program. And just because he is deemed of having committed a level two violation, it's not like, Joe, there's a certain standard or a guideline that is used. Okay, level two violation, that's a 2 to 3 game suspension, blah, 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 blah. No, it could be whatever the discipline ends up being. It could be a game suspension. Is it going to be a vacation, the vacating of wins from last year, or a national championship? That was not really issued in this notice of allegation draft. Just something to pay attention to, because that has been the long controversy. How exactly did the sign-stealing scandal impact Michigan on its run to a national championship? But that's not really what is being determined here. It's that Michigan, in this sign-stealing scandal, violated NCAA guidelines and rules. And that's what it comes down to. And that, matter-of-factly, Joe, in this notice of allegation draft, is exactly what happened. That Michigan operated outside of NCAA guidelines and regulations, led by Connor Stallions, and committed many violations of their rules. Part of where the discipline could be handed down is the fact that Jim Harbaugh did not really cooperate with the investigation, that Sherrone Moore could be flagged for the deleting of those 52 text messages to Connor Stallions on the day the media reports of Connor Stallions' involvement in the sign-stealing scandal did come out. There's all of these things, Joe, that lead to the ramifications that will be handed down. Yes, it has taken a while, but we have reached this point. Will it have an impact on last year's national championship? Will the record book absolve Michigan? No, absolutely not. It is already something we have seen happen. Will the ramifications impact this football program in 2024? That remains to be seen. Could Sherrone Moore be suspended? We don't really know. There was a rumor about a postseason ban being part of the discipline the NCAA could hand down. If it is going to happen, not going to happen more than likely, Joe, in 2024.
No, I don't think so, and I don't think it affects Michigan's run in regards to a college football playoff berth. What do they get out of Alex Orji and Jack Tuttle at a quarterback position? That matters. And can Donovan Edwards and that offensive line run it at will the way they have over the past few seasons, especially in big matchups? If they could do that, Ben, I love their matchup against Texas. I already like them plus the 3.5, and I like them big picture as a potential dark horse. When you're getting value, in my opinion, plus 115, or minus 110, depending upon the book that you get to make the college football playoff, I think there's value there. This is a team that still made the national championship, and it's predicated on physicality. Sometimes you got to roll with it.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. I agree with the idea of what that could be from an on-field performance perspective. We'll continue to talk a little bit more about the off-the-field issue and the main storyline from last year, the sign-stealing scandal in Ann Arbor. Connor Stallions talk comes your way up next, live right here on Football Full Circle. Stay tuned on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
In the notice of allegation draft that ESPN reviewed and reported on a Sunday afternoon, one thing does stand out, Joe. Connor Stallions was, in fact, deemed to be the individual that was wearing a CMU, that Central Michigan disguise or apparel, on the sideline of CMU's season opener last year against Michigan's in-state rival and Big Ten rival, being Michigan State. How he gained access to the sideline, that NCAA notice of allegation draft did not deem. So that is rather interesting. What has taken nearly a year for all of us with two eyeballs that have clearly seen it was Connor Stallions in disguise was officially, or at least released, in the draft notice of allegation yesterday.
Yeah, again, I can't believe, Ben, that they don't know how Connor Stallions got on the sidelines specifically. I mean, this investigation has been going on for how long now? And this is, you know, the statement that they come out with, clearly somebody gave him access. Whether they forged, you know, passes, whether they forged signatures, somebody had to know and give him access. And those people and those staffers, depending upon if it's CMU, Michigan, or who other, needs to be really reprimanded, or some of those sanctions need to be handed down. You can't go after Sherrone Moore and then just not go after anybody else, especially not getting to the bottom of how he became on the sidelines, because who's to say it's not going to happen again with somebody else? You have to address this to set the precedent so that future programs do not do this. It's just amazing to me. I am intrigued to see the situation play out over the next few months about the finality of it, but it's absolutely ridiculous right now.
Yeah, it really is. Again, we're not exactly sure what the discipline will be, and once the notice of allegation is no longer a draft, but the official notice of allegation from the NCAA. Joe, you mentioned how Jim Harbaugh needs to be held accountable. He will be if he ever returns to college football, more than likely featuring a show cause violation, which is a violation that extends for a certain amount of time in that specific level of sport. So if Jim Harbaugh were to ever return, even if it's Michigan or a various other place of employment, he would be set to face whatever that show cause violation could be. However, Joe, in the report of the notice of allegation draft, although it was deemed that one full-time football staff member and several interns as a part of the Michigan football program knew what Connor Stallions was doing and helped him in the operation, Connor Stallions made them believe what they were doing was above board and not a violation of NCAA policy. So that's very interesting, because the whole idea was, from Michigan's perspective, this was a lone wolf operator that was going about this, financing and funding this elaborate scheme by himself. Of course, that seemed a little far-fetched, and now we know that it is. With that being said, it does not necessarily claim in the notice of allegation draft that Jim Harbaugh, Sherrone Moore, Jesse Minter, or other members of the coaching staff knew about the sign-stealing scandal and its operation and what exactly the extent was. It does say they failed to put a stop to it and have lacked institutional control, but not that they necessarily were intimately involved in the operation.
Yeah, again, I do you buy that? I don't. Again, you know, it comes down to what they say and what obviously you believe and what others believe in regards to not just Michigan's fan base, but opposing fan bases, right? So, again, I don't know. Again, you know, I find it ironic that, you know, so they say all these things, but they've been all over the map since this investigation started. So, again, Ben, I have an idea how this went down, but now the NCAA needs to prove it, and they need to prove it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely so. And we will get more once the notice of allegation draft is just a notice of allegation that we hear of. The TLDR, the too long didn't read, seven Michigan football staff members, including the only current one on staff, head coach Sherrone Moore, were named in the notice of allegation draft. What exactly the discipline is going to be, that we do not know. There were level one violations, level two violations, and the NCAA deems Michigan's football program as a whole a repeat offender. Will it impact the Wolverines in 2024? More than likely not. Could Sherrone Moore potentially be suspended for any game action this upcoming season? That is a possibility. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today here on Football Full Circle. But the show returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time, live right here on Sports Grid Radio. Plenty more from around NFL training camp and as we rev up for college football in the coming days here on FFC.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.